travel back in time to the 80s, reliving the shenanigans.
It was the early 80s, and sex was still a good way to meet new people.
The disappointment.
Now that's a real shame when folks be throwing away a perfectly good white boy like that.
And the self-confidence.
I'm 6'3" tall and maintain a very consistent panda bear shape.
Because just like you, we're stuck in the 80s.
Sure, it's not 1985 right now, but who knows what tomorrow will bring.
Hey, hey, welcome to Stuck in the 80s. It's your old pal, Spearsy.
And Brad in New York City.
And today we're going to talk about clairvoyance, spirit photography, telekinetic movement, full transmediums, the Loch Ness Monster, and the theory of Atlantis.
Yes, it's our review of Ghostbusters Afterlife and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I thought that we had busted up for good. I mean, it wasn't working for me. My friends didn't think so. I know yours didn't.
Okay, playtime's over. Let's toast this muffin.
It's a twofer show this week, and you know who brought it to us, Steve. This episode of Stuck in the 80s is sponsored by The 80s Cruise. Join your Stuck in the 80s hosts along with MTV VJs Mark Goodman and Alan Hunter in spring 2025 for a week-long trip on board the Royal Caribbean Explorer of the Seas. Performers will include Squeeze, Adam Ant, Christopher Cross, Sheila E., Men at Work, Andy Bell of Erasure, Quiet Riot, Information Society, Curtis Blow, Honeymoon Suite, The Alarm, and more. Are you ready for the promo code? Are you? Do you think you can handle the promo code? That's probably why you're still listening, isn't it? It's not because we have something interesting to say. Oh no, that couldn't be possibly true. For first-time guests on the 80s Cruise, use the promo code STUCK, S-T-U-C-K, to get $200 in cabin credit. You have to be a first-time guest, and you need to use the code when you book. No calls backsies. Just point your favorite web browser to www.the80scruise.com for more information.
Oh, well, look, when we started, busting ghosts was a gas. I mean, economy was good. Reagan years. People believed in us.
When there's something strange in the podcast hood, who are we going to call? It's 70s and 80s music quiz book guru, Tammy Dever.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
We be fast and
they be slow.
Wow. Hi, guys.
Woo. So happy to have you.
Well, thanks for having me here. I love these movies.
How old were you when you saw the first Ghostbuster movie? Did you see it in the theater?
I did. It's the first movie I saw without my parents. I went with my best friend. I distinctly remember going to the mall. Like, it was like 20 minutes away. Went to the mall. We saw the movie. By the time the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man arrived, we were bawling. We were laughing so hard. It was the best time. Like, this is my favorite 80s movie.
Oh, wow. That's a bold statement.
Wow. That's high praise indeed.
Brad, where did the original come for you? Was it during your drive-in career?
No. Well, kind of adjacent. I was still working at the movies. This was a big summer for movies, if you remember. And we would go down on Thursday night and get the film cans for the new films from the Greyhound station, which is how they moved them around. And the projectionist would set up whatever was new the next night, and we would watch it after the theater closed. So like around midnight, we'd watch it. I had seen the poster for this movie, and that's it. I knew nothing about it. I could read the names on the cast. I'm like, okay, those are funny people, but when are Ghostbusters? What's this going to be about? It was amazing. It was amazing. Although every time a ghost appeared on the screen, one of the women, I guess then girls, I could probably call her a girl then, one of the girls that worked at the movie theater screamed her freaking head off. Like, my ears are still ringing from that, I think. Maybe more so than from Adam Ant the other night. Fond memory, great time working at that movie theater with those people. And just a movie that I'll never forget the first time I saw it, much like you, Tammy.
I guess I have to be the bummer story.
Wait. Let me guess. You went on a date. She sat three rows away from you. You had to buy her the big Coke, and then she called her mom to give her a ride home.
She left with a guy in between them.
But you're amazingly close. You're on the right track. I was working at McDonald's at the time. No good story starts with, I was working at McDonald's at the time. But a girl came in one night and was being flirty with me and asked the woman at the counter, can you give that guy behind in the grill my number so I get her number. I call her up. We make a date to go see Ghostbusters. So we go, and it's opening weekend, so it's packed. And she's very cold the whole time. Not temperature wise. I mean, like, there's no connection.
Would you say the Empire was frozen?
At the end of the night, she tells me why. Apparently, at one point, I used a couple of words of profanity, and I don't know what they were. She wasn't going to repeat it, but apparently that violated the cardinal rule with her. Like, I don't date people who use profanity. And so she said, she gave me the line that only maybe three people have given me before, that haunts you forever, which is, if I never see you again, have a nice life.
Damn. Don't leave mad. Just leave.
So to me, the original Ghostbusters is forever tainted by that story. Now, have I gotten over it? No.
Clearly not.
This for 19 years, we've been doing this podcast, and the goal is to work out some of these issues. That one is staying put. It is the ghost that never leaves my body. But anyway,
I'm going to have to put a little overtime in on this one, boys.
It's okay. We're here to talk about the two newest movies. Let's do a quick catch up. We're basically here to mainly talk about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, but it occurred to me that we never really gave an official review of Ghostbusters Afterlife. So, Tammy, how would you summarize Ghostbusters Afterlife?
So Afterlife came out in 2021, obviously the sequel to the first two Ghostbusters movies. We purposely ignore that 2016 reboot thing. So Egon's destitute family is evicted from the New York City apartment. They have to move to their inherited and completely dilapidated farm, once owned by now deceased Egon. And the farm's in this teeny tiny little town called Somerville, Oklahoma. The kids discover the old Ghostbusters equipment and the Ecto-1 gasp. As the area's mysterious seismic activity totally ramps up, ghost sightings are everywhere. They introduce a new Slimer-like ghost named Muncher, who goes around eating all the metal around town. Gozer is the antagonist again. And the Gatekeeper and the Keymaster return in a new form. We learn that Egon had been trying to contain the evil centered in the local Shandor mine. And there's this little bridge that goes to the mine, and I'm totally freaked out by bridges, and I seriously freak out just watching that.
Yeah, that's a crazy scene.
Yeah. So the kids, the family, the friends, they all work together to finish what Egon started, along with the original Ghostbusters, which was so cool. And the ghost of Egon in a totally touching scene at the end. Like, cue the tears.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, seriously.
Like, serious tears.
Oh, yeah. I only saw this for the first time maybe 2 weeks ago. And Brad had said he cried during it. I remember you told me that, Brad.
Yeah. Oh, well, anytime anybody asks me about it, I tell them I just weep through the last 15 minutes of it. I'm just an absolute mess.
I was, even with that warning, I was unprepared for how emotional it is. So no, it's something else. It's fantastic. Yeah. It is what basically made me have to go see Frozen Empire.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I mean, it just, I realize, and I think I've said this on the podcast too, I realized at the end of it, I was basically grieving Harold Ramis through this movie.
Yes. So many things. Gosh, I don't know what we can tell people. I guess hopefully you guys have seen it already, but like when Phoebe Chase plays chess with him, like gasping for air.
Yeah.
And of course, at the end, I mean, you're already bawling, and then that dedication just comes up big on the screen and it says, "For Harold." And I'm like, oh, I'm done again.
Forget it. I know. They just hit you and they hit you again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's something else. You can still see it today. It's streaming on any given month. It's streaming on one of the streaming services. And I think I ended up renting it on Amazon Prime, and we had to break it into two nights because it was just too consuming.
It is. I think it was really frightening too.
Yes. Surprisingly so.
Yeah. I was petrified in the first scene and petrified towards the end. And I thought, my 12-year-old's not going to watch this. That's for sure.
Brad, is there a Somerville, Oklahoma?
There is not a Somerville, Oklahoma. That is a fictional town.
You know what is not fictional, though?
No, I don't. What's not fictional? And if you say the Seggies, I'm going to come through the phone and beat you up.
I live on Somerville Place.
Oh.
When we saw that in the movie, the wife and I were like, what? Are they here? What? Did we mishear that? And so as far as I know, this is not a scene of any hauntings, but that remains to be. Every once in a while, the dog still stares in a corner at something that's not there. So I don't know.
I don't know. Your ex-girlfriends are still haunting you.
Oh, a little too close to home there. A little too close to home.
Oh, man. Last show ever.
Well, it's been nice having you, Tammy. Sorry you have to go.
I go out with a bang.
Any good sequel has some Easter eggs, and this one sure has its share of them, right?
Oh, tons. All right, so I loved the Easter egg in the original movie when Egon tells Janine that he collects spores, molds, and fungus. Well, in Egon's, like, underground bunker, a collection of those can be seen when Phoebe finds his bunker. Like, it's right there. And if you know that he said that in the first movie, you're looking just like, I was just giggling. I'm like, oh.
That's fascinating. We all need hobbies. I like the candy bar wrapper in his jumpsuit. That's awesome. He just pulls out the Crunch Bar wrapper.
There's so many like deeper random ones. Like Phoebe wears this purple sweater that has a pattern of all these circles, squares, and stars all over it. And they're the same shapes on Venkman's psychic test cards from the first movie.
Oh, geez. I missed that one.
Yeah, I did too. I saw it online. I had to go back and see it.
Let's talk about the critical response to Afterlife. We love it. I mean, obviously it gets 3 thumbs up from us. Only a 64% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is still decent.
It's okay, but yeah, not, yeah. I'm surprised it's that low. I mean, is this a movie for the fans? Maybe, but I'm a fan, so that means it's for me.
Yeah, and the audience score, likewise, is 94%. So it hit with the audience that it intended to hit with.
Right.
I'm surprised that they even got the green light to do this, considering how bad the 2016 movie was.
You know, guys, I don't think it was that bad. I think your expectations are out of whack there. I had a good time seeing that movie.
I refuse.
Well, if you haven't seen it, then I don't think you can judge it.
I won't judge the movie. I just won't watch the movie.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
It's not a valid part of the Ghostbusters universe for me.
I had a good time at the theater with that one, so maybe I'm alone.
You were huffing glue or something because...
Oh, whatever.
It doesn't... There's no continuity. There's scenes that make zero sense.
It's not meant to have any continuity with the Ghostbusters.
No. But I'm saying within itself, it doesn't have any continuity. Like one scene to the next, you're like wondering, well, why are they doing this? Well, what's this all about? It's never explained. The whole thing is like...
You're thinking too hard about this, I think. Oh,
that's never been a problem for me before.
Wow, we finally found something that Steve and I disagree about vehemently.
You didn't disclose that the vehicle was going to be a hearse.
I'm sorry. My uncle owns a funeral home, not an enterprise rent-a-car.
Hope you checked to see there wasn't a body in the back.
I don't think so. I don't really know.
You didn't check?
I mean, I was in a hurry. I checked to see if we had gas. That was more important.
So there is a body?
Let Holzman check. She likes that type of stuff.
Yeah, I can think of 7 good uses of a cadaver today.
No, Dr. Frankenstein. We got to turn in the body if there's one in there.
All right.
Okay, so anyway, we're caught up with Afterlife. So let's move on to Frozen Empire. Brad, give us a summary of Frozen Empire.
Okay, Frozen Empire. It's amazing. Oh, no, you wanted a summary, not a review. So this movie came out, what, a month ago? So, latest installment in this continuation of the original Ghostbuster story. Cast is back. Paul Rudd is back. Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, and McKenna Grace as the next generation of Ghostbusters. They've moved back to the big city, just like me, back in New York City, where they're living and working. Oh, that is just like me. No wonder I like this movie, except the old firehouse part. They're in the old firehouse that served as the original Ghostbusters headquarters way back in the 80s. Apparently, it's owned by one Winston Zeddemore now. Is that a huge spoiler? I hope not. they managed to catch the ire of the city's mayor, Walter Peck, you glorious bastard. I love this guy. He's strangely upset at the damage that the Ghostbusters caused when they caught a sewer dragon in Hell's Kitchen. I mean, if any neighborhood in New York has a sewer dragon, it's Hell's Kitchen. Meanwhile, trouble is brewing when Ray Stantz and podcast buy a weird brass orb from a kind of, I don't know, what would you call him? He's like a serial entrepreneur. He's like, he's selling sneakers, he's selling this, he's selling that. Named Nadim Razmati, who's trying to sell off his grandmother's collection of odd and ancient random stuff.
From what I understand, this is based on a story that Aykroyd had decades ago that just never quite got fleshed out. It is interesting to see the original cast come back. Do they get any more screen time in this movie than they did Afterlife? Does anyone know?
I feel like they do. I feel like they do. Stance for sure does.
There's again, a lot of Easter eggs. One of my favorite, Ray Stantz, Dan Aykroyd, says he stopped smoking in the 90s. And that's sort of a callback to the fact that his character is seen smoking throughout the first two movies. So much so that it was almost kind of like, do you have stock in tobacco companies or what?
Yeah, just like, I'll never forget the first one, the cigarette like hanging off his lip when they first catch Slimer.
It was nice to see Walter Peck return and get a nod. He wasn't obviously in Afterlife, but to see him back here is such a lovely tribute.
That was fabulous. And somebody in the background yells, "Dickless." Freaking hilarious.
I think Tammy said that she saw a glass skull bottle on the bookshelf at Raise a Cult, which of course would be a nod to Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Head vodka brand.
I like that an old lady brought a watch to Ray's antique shop to see if it houses her husband's soul, and her husband's name was Harold.
Yeah, I'm like, you're not going to get me to cry in this one. Come on.
Did I cry during this one? Did any of us cry?
I was super proud of myself. I made it through the whole movie until the stinking end when it was dedicated for Ivan. Like, damn it, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
From what I understand, Ivan Reitman was told about the movie before he passed away in February 2022. It maybe have just been a couple months before he passed that they looped him in on that. So that was great.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Let's talk about the critical reviews. This one doesn't do as well as Afterlife with the critics. It has a 44% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but yet still an 83% audience score. Fair? Unfair?
I think that they're being pretty harsh here. I mean, look, it's a sequel to a beloved movie that's, dare I say, because it's true, 40 years old, which is shocking. So there's a lot of fan service in this movie. And cool. I love that movie. Why would you not want that? I just think, again, to your point, I think it's not a movie for the critics. The Academy isn't going to give it anything. It's not, you know, it's not going to be on anyone's best movies in 2024 list. But God, it's a lot of fun.
I did too. I was in a nostalgic stupor. Like the whole time, I don't even remember some of the things that happened because I was too busy going, oh my gosh, look at that. Oh my gosh, this is awesome. Alan laughing and just, I want to go back and watch it more critically. And I get what some of the critics are saying. There's a lot going on and this could have been developed better and that, whatever. I don't even, like you said, I don't care if they're pandering. I want them to.
Here's my takeaway from this whole thing. And yeah, I love this movie, especially if it becomes part of a franchise like the Star Trek movies did in the 80s. So you had six Star Trek movies in the 80s. They weren't all Wrath of Khan type movies. I mean, there were some ones in there that were a little lesser, but they advanced a great beloved story. And I think that Frozen Empire advances a beloved institution and continues it forward. Will there be more of these? I hope so. I hope we don't have to see a four so-and-so at the end of each one of them. I hope, you know, that we get to see the original Ghostbusters for many, many more years.
Yeah.
But at the very least, I love the idea of letting this franchise, you know, find its feet and continue on, just giving us these great moments of nostalgia.
Yeah, I definitely want to see more. And I hope Kumail Nanjiani, who plays Nadim, I hope he comes back because his character is hilarious.
It's a great character. It's a lot of fun. I was shocked to see Patton Oswalt show up. His character kind of made me laugh. I'm like, man, this guy knows the library backwards and forwards. But you know, don't look too hard. Just enjoy the movie.
Let me ask you this. Where do Afterlife and Frozen Empire stand among the remakes and sequels of our favorite 80s movies?
I would rank them in the order they came out. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow.
Really?
It could be just a nostalgic thing. I mean, two, I could go for an argument that two might not be as good as one of the newer ones.
Here's the problem with me and two. I refuse to see it because I heard so many bad things about it. And I'm like, I don't want anything to sully the memory of the first Ghostbusters. And oh, I saw it like in the first 3 or 4 years I was on the podcast, Steve, we did a show on it. And so I watched it for that show. And all I like, go back and listen to that show. I'm sure I just crapped all over that movie because I'm like, it's so dumb.
No.
It's painful.
No.
So I did not see it at the right time for it to resonate with me.
Okay.
I would have needed to see it when it came out. And I see that. But if for Brad's rankings, Ghostbusters, obviously, first in our hearts, first in the charts. I'm going to put Frozen Empire 2.
What?
Followed closely behind by Afterlife, because I know you don't get Frozen Empire without Afterlife, but I think Frozen Empire as a movie, it just hangs together better a little bit, and it's more like, I love the New York stuff, I love the, you know, the dragon flying through the streets and all the people and the running over the row of the rental bikes that are all charged and stuff like that. I'm just like, oh, this is perfect. And you know, I'm just trying to piss off a small subset of our listeners. I have to say something nasty about Oklahoma every show. So that movie was set in Oklahoma. So how good can it be? There. Now that we've checked that box, and then bottom of the chart for me is Ghostbusters 2.
You don't really crap on Oklahoma.
No, I get accused of doing it. I get like people. I'll get emails occasionally. Stop saying so much crap about Oklahoma. I'm like, okay. So there, now I'm, do I mean it or am I just teasing people? I don't know.
I've always thought you took a fair and balanced view of that state. And, you know, you've shared a lot of great memories for those days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Where did I first see the original Ghostbusters? At the Show S3, just outside of Weatherford, Oklahoma on Route 66.
The movie theater that I saw Ghostbusters in with the bad date literally is 50 yards from my mom's condo now.
Is it still a theater?
No, I think they turned it into something else. But it was a four screen movie theater back in the 80s. And literally every time I go visit her, which isn't nearly enough probably, but as I pull into her parking lot, there's that damn theater.
That's so funny.
Is, by the way, the same theater that didn't hire me as a concessions worker. Because I couldn't do math.
We got a lot to unpack.
Wow.
Here. Oh my gosh.
The ghosts were his all the time.
The ghost of Steve's past.
Oh God. Speaking of amazing things that are getting honored again, Tammy found this incredible music video from Japan that I guess is meant to promote the movie when it was released there. And I dare not say the name of the band for fear of getting it completely wrong. You want to give it a shot, Tammy?
I don't know for sure, but Arashi
Gaiko?
Gecko. So here's how I found it. I saw the movie at the Alamo Draft House here in town, and it's one of those dinner movie theaters. You can get a movie. And they were playing just a ton of bizarre Ghostbusters-related clips and awesome old commercials and stuff. And this was one of them. And I just sat there watching it going, what is this?
Find it for yourself if you go to YouTube and Google Ghostbusters Frozen Summer Japan. But here's 30 seconds of it. I feel like I just free-based Mountain Dew or something.
Ooh. Feel the Burn.
Maybe Jolt.
Ooh, Jolt. Even better.
You know what's even better than Mountain Dew or Jolt?
The Seggies. You spin me right round, baby,
right round, 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 round. Hey, it's time for Spin Me Round, the Seggie where we play a piece of a song backwards. If you get it right, Brad, what are the odds they get a postal friendly bottle opener anytime this quarter?
It'll happen this calendar year.
Yeah. Okay, this last clip, my notes are so screwed up that this last Seggie appeared either in episode 695 or 698. I don't know anymore, but pay attention, here it was. That's Freakazoid by Midnight Star. One of my favorite things about the 80s cruise this year, Midnight Star performed and they open with Freakazoid.
Oh, Spearsazoid, report to the podcast.
So I ran in both times to see it, to see them perform it twice, because you know, you're going to play my favorite song, very first thing. I'm there.
You leave with no guilt.
Yep. Yep.
You walk out the door knowing you got everything you wanted. That's like the Steve Spears like dream set list there, right? Open strong and then do whatever you want.
Berlin does that too. They play like their big four hits right off the bat. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. And then they get into the catalog a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got some winners. Not as many as I would have thought, considering I think I used this as a clue for a show within the last 6 months.
Winners this week include Amy Lynn, John Ross from Charlotte, North Carolina, who does not work in IT tech support, Cliff from somewhere north of Detroit, Donnie Vocoder, Bluefest from San Diego, Lou, Sweet Lou Greeley, Plain Pulling Tom, Lee from hashtag SF Bay Area ATs Cruisers, Todd Cunningham, Richard the Big Bunny, Auburn in Tennessee, and Todd in Minnesota.
Tammy, we'll let you spin the wheel, see if it gets the post-friendly bottle opener.
All right, ready?
Looks like it's going to land on Bluefest from San Diego.
What are the odds?
Bluefest, send us your postal address, and Brad will put you on his list of things of chores to do when he finally gets back to California. Woo-hoo! When's that going to happen? Anytime soon?
Actually, I fly home tomorrow.
Oh.
But I'm only there for a short time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm happy sad at the same time.
I'm happy and sad for you.
Okay, pay attention. Here's this week's mystery backward song. If you know it, email us at podcast@sit80s.com and tune in soon to find out if you are a winner. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
There's a new cereal in the neighborhood with owls and ghosts.
Tastes real good.
Ghostbusters. Marshmallow ghosts. Fruit flavored O's. Ghostbusters taste great with milk and juice and toast. A nutritious breakfast with the ghost.
Ghostbusters.
Fruit flavored O's.
Ghostbusters.
Marshmallow ghosts.
Ghostbusters.
What are you gonna crunch?
And we're back. Got a few minutes left. Tammy is a quiz book extraordinaire and author. Tammy, would you by any chance have some Ghostbusters questions you could drill on us?
Why, thanks for asking, Steve. I actually do. All right, I'm going to stump you guys. Maybe not all of them. Okay, you guys ready?
Go for it.
Let's go. Question number one. In Afterlife, what was Egon known as to the locals in Somerville?
Oh, I know. Dirt farmer.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, sir.
Nice. Yes. You've seen this more recently. I've only seen this movie once because I don't want to cry that much again in my life.
Well, it turns out at first you think it's somewhat of an insult, but that's what he was actually doing. He was spreading all the traps in the dirt, so it looked like he was farming the dirt.
Uh-huh.
So, okay.
Okay, cool. Question number two. In Ghostbusters 2, what was Dana's baby's name?
Oh,
Mortimer.
Wow.
Aloysius.
Almost that bad.
I don't know. I give up.
It was Oscar.
Oscar, damn it. I knew that.
Oscar's a lot better than Mortimer or Aloysius.
It is. I just always thought they could have picked a nicer name.
Well, you know, he's from New York. He's kind of grouchy. Perfect.
Love it. All right, question number three. How many Academy Awards was the first movie nominated for?
Two?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, just to be different, I'm going to say four.
It was two. Do you know what they were for?
Probably Best Original Song and Coolest Use of a Proton Glider.
Probably Special Effects, I guess.
Yeah, one each. Best Original Song and Best Visual Effects. And the Best Original Song lost to Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Oh, no. Can we agree that's a terrible song?
Yeah, that's
it's not really sappy.
I'm glad we found something to bring us all together after all the putrescence around various Ghostbusters rankings.
Group hug. All right, question number four. In Ghostbusters 2, what did the doc supervisor see that prompted his response? Better late than never.
Oh, I know. The Titanic docks in
yes.
ports.
I love that.
That's in really good taste, too. Yeah.
I
like that.
Fabulous.
I think it's Cheech Marin who's the character in that. So.
Oh, I think you're right. Now I have to go see. Okay, question number five. In what 1995 non-Ghostbusters film did Dan Aykroyd play Dr. Ray Stantz?
Oh my God. 1995.
Aykroyd movie. Boy.
Well, it wouldn't have been Dr. Detroit.
No, that's 80s.
It wouldn't have been nothing but. It's not Nothing But Trouble, is it?
Untrading Places?
It was Casper.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Come on, Ray.
Oh, man. I feel good and standards. Bad at the same time. Again.
Have some standards.
I haven't watched it. Okay. In what year does Frozen Empire begin?
I want to say 2023.
I'll go, just to be different, I'll say 24.
How about 1904?
Son of a band director.
Great question.
Oh, I forgot about the very beginning.
The cold open. The very cold open.
Awesome.
Man, these are good. These are challenging.
All right, question number seven. In Afterlife, what was being mined by the Shandor Mining Company?
Oh, I know that one.
I don't. What is it?
It's selenium, isn't it?
Yes.
Well...
A rare earth metal, to be sure.
Okay, yeah. That's a good one.
That all of our bodies need, apparently.
Yeah, just a little.
And it's good to fight dandruff.
That is a fun fact.
Isn't it in Head and Shoulders?
It is in Head and Shoulders. And all kinds of facts about selenium.
Come for the movie, stay for the pharmacology.
Right. Okay, question number eight. In Ghostbusters 2, what song do the Ghostbusters use to bring the Statue of Liberty to life?
Oh, it's, is it My Love or Our Love is Lifting Me Higher?
No, it's obvious. Can't Touch This. It has to be Can't Touch This.
No, that's Our Love is Lifting Me Higher. Isn't there something like that?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yes, you got it. Yep. Woohoo.
Are you sure it's not White Lines by Grandmaster Flash?
Oh my gosh.
No, that's what's used to get you animated.
Yeah.
I do love
it. Are you doing those now?
No, okay. No. I work for a living. I can't do that kind of stuff.
Just checking.
I mean, thanks for following up on me, but no.
Yep. Got to keep you accountable.
I appreciate that.
All right. Question number nine. In the original, what snack does Egon use to explain the levels of psychokinetic energy in New York?
That's a hell of a Twinkie.
That's a Twinkie, yeah.
Yes. That's awesome.
When was the last time anyone actually ate a Twinkie?
Tell them about the Twinkie. What about the Twinkie? It's been quite a while, but I do remember. Actually, probably the last time I had a Twinkie was we were having a party one summer, and it was the solstice. And so I made, instead of Stonehenge, I made Twinkie Henge. where I like made a bed of brownies with green frosting on it, and then I had Twinkies like standing up with sticks in it, and I like drizzled chocolate over it. It sounds amazing. It did not look amazing. By the time people came, it had fallen over like the real Stonehenge, and it just looked a mess.
I'm going to stop you here and reiterate my concern about you and the white lines.
The Twinkies are better frozen.
Now I really want one. Okay, last question.
Last question. At the kid's birthday party in Ghostbusters 2, who played the role of the kid who tells Ray that his dad says the Ghostbusters are full of crap?
I don't know. I really don't know. I barely remember.
Obviously, Ray Stantz Jr., the illegitimate offspring of Ray Stantz and the ghost in the firehouse in the first movie.
Is it his daughter? Is it Harold Ramis' daughter?
It's a boy. It is none other than Jason Reitman.
Is it really? Oh, that's classic.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, man, I should have guessed that.
And Ivan's daughter plays the girl with the puppy in Egon's lab.
That's cute. Thank you, Tammy. Hey, if people want to find your books, where can they find them? And remind us what the titles of them are again.
You bet. I have Ultimate Mixtape and Ultimate Mixtape Side B. They are on Amazon. You can also find them at totallycool80s.com, along with a few other books and links and fun retro everything.
That's so cool. We're so happy you came back for this. When I heard you gushing about the Frozen Empire being only days away and you not being able to sleep, I knew you were the right person to bring on for this show.
Well, I appreciate it.
Hey, everybody, let us know what you think of Frozen Empire. Send us an email. You know the address. But in the meantime, Tammy, Brad, and myself will remain here, hopelessly stuck in the 80s.
Stuck in the 80s is now on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/stuckinthe80spodcast. Special thanks to Check Battery Daily for our theme music, and thanks for listening.
It's so late, I really gotta put him down.
May I?
Yeah, if you want to.
You're short, your belly button sticks out too far, and you're a terrible burden on your poor mother.